And welcome into Trailblazers Courtside here on this Tuesday night. Mike Barrett along with Mike Rice and Brian Wheeler with you. Soon to be joined by, tonight on the program, Larry Miller and Chad Buchanan will both be here. And we will discuss many things along with Mike Rice and the slight sunburn that does not appear to be easing up at all.
Oh, it's after, more it's
on,
brighter today.
Day two.
It's brighter today.
I would just sit there with the phone doing that podcast show with Casey Holdall and
you're
looking
up 3 hours.
And I was just talking. And then all of a sudden I went, oh, you know, I shouldn't do this.
You do go on TV a little later that evening. We meant to tell you. So,
yeah, well,
but that is the Courtside Tip-Off presented by Standard TV and Appliances. What's coming up in the program tonight? Chad and Larry. Chad will stay a couple of segments. I think Larry just won. And then Sam Amick from SI.com. We're going to talk a little NBA draft, what's to come. And perhaps he'll weigh in on what's going on in this playoff race, both in the East and the West. Some interesting scores even as we speak tonight. So that's what's
coming up. This is a jam-packed show.
Yes. And what's coming up Wednesday on a new episode of Stompin' Ground. Check out a taster of high stakes. That's what's coming up on Wednesday night at 10. Let's take a look.
Russell Cardoza! This is an all-around time to bet champion!
I know how it feels. Can't do anything right. Can't win. Can't catch.
I'm pretty much done after tomorrow if I don't do good.
Following the footsteps of her sister, her father. All they do is win. Terrebonne, Oregon. Come on!
You just got to go a little deeper into your first.
Good run. Sammy goes like...
No. You worry about you.
Come on! Hustle! Keep a hustle! Keep a hustle!
High stakes full of competition and surprise. So that's coming up. And there's also a shocking end to one of rodeo athletes' season. And Wolf's Mike and Amy take a swing of the rope. You know that. You've been following this. So you should be.
I'm really impressed with the way they go around the barrel.
All new episode of Stompin' Ground Wednesday at 10 on Comcast Sportsnet. And as we said, what's coming up in our program tonight, Larry Miller, Chad Buchanan coming up on Trailblazers Courtside. Stay tuned.
Felton lob to Hickson, and he jams it home.
Yeah, Hickson.
Hickson runs the break. Batum right side, and he jams.
Well, they got to get it in. They do to Matthews. Wesley's had a great second half. Step back for the lead. Yeah!
Morris trying to pack it over to Veed, and Thavidi races it out of bounds.
And it is Trailblazers Courtside here on this Tuesday night. Trailblazers coming back from Phoenix last night following the loss to the Suns, getting set to take on the Utah Jazz tomorrow night in the home finale of the season before a three-game road trip. Mike Barrett, Mike Rice, Brian Wheeler with you on set, joined by Chad Buchanan and the president of the Trailblazers, Larry Miller, to start things off. Guys, we heard from these guys in the last segment, but how's it going?
It's good. It's good. Ready for our final home game tomorrow night. I think our guys are excited to, you know, give some appreciation to our fans and their support this season.
Well, and Larry, just to further on Chad, it's always a fun night. We wish things were different, and we're heading into the playoff race, but it's always a fun night. Fan appreciation.
Yeah, it is. We're glad to be able to show our fans how much we appreciate the support that they have given us over this course of this season and you know, over the course of the many years that this team has been in the city of Portland. I still think we have the best fans anywhere in the NBA.
Yeah. Now, I always get nervous. Those guys aren't going to run down those aisles again. I fear for an ankle.
We're going to have you carry each one down on your back.
That'd be worse.
No, we probably won't. We won't.
But it is always nice at the end of the final home game of the regular season that the players give out their shirts, their shoes. I mean, it's a great opportunity for fans to walk away with a lot more than just seeing a great basketball game.
No, I agree with that. And again, I think you know, showing the appreciation that we have for these fans and kind of preparing ourselves for next season, which we're really excited about.
Now, the role of a spoiler, that's a good thing. You know, if you hate Utah, you know, you really want to, you know, hey, let's put it to them. That it's something.
Yeah, I agree with that. And also, you know, our guys are prideful players. They have pride, and they go out every game, and they want to win every single game. And Caleb has them playing hard and really, you know, playing together. And I think we'll see those guys go out and make every effort to win that game tomorrow night.
Well, and speaking of Caleb, we know that, you know, he gets some support from a lot of different places because he's so well-liked, so well-respected. Pete Carroll, I know, is going to be in the house tomorrow night. He's supposed to be Seahawks head coach, and he and Caleb have been close throughout this whole thing. When you guys go into your search for a head coach and the general manager search, as we have talked about and you've been asked about a lot, you have mentioned that, you know, and Joel Prisbilla on this program a couple of weeks ago kind of threw his support right behind Caleb saying, hey, he'd be a great head coach, and the other players have said that as well. What will you take into account? What will you balance and weigh when it comes to that selection?
Well, again, I think, you know, the players supporting Caleb in the way that they have, and I've had a number of them tell me directly that they support him, that definitely will be taken into consideration. Our goal is to really, you know, put ourselves in the best position to win, not just to win games, but to win a championship. And, you know, so we're going to look at that, and that'll be a major factor as we go through this. But Caleb's got a lot of support, not just from the players, but within the organization.
Is there a timeline of certain things you want done before any other things?
Well, our plan, and I think I mentioned this when I was here before, but you weren't here.
Yeah.
Had you been here, you would have heard. No.
And he obviously didn't watch the program either.
But our plan is to fill the GM spot first and then have the GM be involved in the coaching position. But again, that's the plan. But, you know that's subject to change. If there's a decision that needs to be made quicker, we will make that decision quicker. But that's kind of the plan in terms of how we're going to look to move forward.
I knew that from watching the show.
Right, yeah, right. Chad, as MB mentioned, we would obviously be preferring to talk about the playoffs, and with that not an option, it must give you, as somebody that has had a lot to do with the young players that are on this basketball team, to see a Luke Babbitt starting to develop as he is. Nolan Smith coming along. Both guys had career highs last night. Luke had his first career start. Nolan's going to get more time now to show what he can do in preparation for a summer league. And in a lot of cases with these young players, we see that opportunity is really all they need to be able to show what they can do, and maybe a little confidence. And it's interesting to see how much more confident a player Luke is now that he has had some chances to play on a regular basis.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Wheels. You know, for any young player in our league, having an opportunity and having the confidence, you know, in your teammates and your staff and your coach is so critical to how soon a guy succeeds and if he succeeds at all. And Caleb's done a great job of instilling that in all of our guys. And I think if you, you know, from first man down to the last man, I think they would tell you that Caleb has really put a lot of faith in them. And I think in turn, those guys feel, you know, a sense of pride towards Caleb, and they want to play well for him. They want to play hard. They want to play together. They're, you know, trying, you know, obviously we're a little bit down in talent, like I've said before, from our trade, but I think our guys have competed every night for Caleb. And for the young guys, you know, we're playing teams that are fighting for their playoff lives in Utah and Phoenix. You know, we're playing Memphis and San Antonio. We're fighting for position. So it's great experience for our young players to be thrown to the wolves right now against some teams that are, you know, they're not shutting it down. You know, they're playing for something. So you put Nolan out there against Steve Nash last night. You're putting, you know, Luke on the floor the next couple of nights against some big physical Utah, you know, power forward. So it's good. You know, they're kind of thrown into the mix and kind of learn on the fly, but it's great for their development. It kind of accelerates their development.
We flew out on this road trip, went to Sacramento first, and we get off the plane, and Joel Prisbilla goes to a different car and is whisked away, and we're kind of thinking, what's going on? We know he has the bone spurs on the ankle. And then he tells us that he was basically a guinea pig. He went to this European cold sauna that goes like 200 degrees below zero, and he walks around for 5 minutes. And how often, and there's a point to this, how often do you guys try new things and you know, are open-minded as far as taking a new approach to guys and grabbing a veteran like Joel and throwing him in there? How often does the medical staff, do you guys do this kind of stuff?
Yeah, our medical staff is very good about that. They're constantly searching out, you know, whether it be within the regional market, the national market, the world market, of new ways to treat players, to prevent injuries, to care for injuries. That's just, you know, one example of what Jay and our medical staff do with Joel the last, you know, on the trip. They also went in Phoenix and saw a different cryogenic machine that they used on Joel. And they're constantly searching out there for new ways to prevent, you know, injuries and to care for the injuries.
And it's not like this just now happened.
Absolutely not. I mean, we're, you know, Jay and our doctors, we're not out there publicizing, you know, what the efforts that they're making. That's not, you know, not what we're about. That's, that doesn't need to be put out there, because it's, you know, the privacy issues with it, with our athletes, is important to us. The integrity of that is important to Jay and to all of us. And but, you know, those guys are constantly, the contacts they have out there nationally, you know, in the world of different, you know, specialists treating different parts of the body, looking for new ways to treat injuries. It's an ongoing thing with our staff, and we encourage that, and Jay is terrific at searching out those people.
Larry, there have been some high-profile injuries with the Trailblazers the last few years, but, you know, I think that they get most of the headlines in all of this, but, you know, to hear Joel Prisbilla come out last home game, and I was talking to him before, and he had these strong quotes about Jay, which I sent out some tweets with, you know, because people respect Joel. They know he's a warrior. He's been through it. He's been through the two ruptured patellas, and he talked about the treatment he received from not just Jay but the medical staff, but talked about, I think the perception is, and in fact, when you think about it and you hear about the high-profile injuries, that boy, the Trailblazers are snake bit and have to be the most injured team in the NBA. But the facts don't really support that, do they?
Well, I just would like to address the fact that there have been some, you know, unreliable reporting by some in the media that was really based on some information that came from someone who was unethical, unprofessional, and some in the media took that information and ran with it, and unfortunately painted our medical and training staff in a bad light. And, you know, I just want to make it clear that we are 100% in support of our medical and training staff. We know we have one of the best medical and training staffs anywhere, in not just the NBA, but in all of sports. And it really is a travesty that somebody, you know, some of these media folks would pick up on something that had no substance to it and a source that was, you know, really questionable and run with that. And I just want to make it clear that we are, like I said, 100% in support of Jay, of Dr. Roberts, Doc Reese, aren't Bobby, the entire staff. We're in 100% support of those guys. And, you know, to the point that Chad was making, our guys are constantly looking for how can we better serve our players. And, you know, they're always looking for new resources. Whenever there's an injury, we don't just rely specifically on our guys. We talk to doctors on other teams. We talk to, you know, people in other parts of the country to get multiple opinions on what's the best way to treat our athletes. So I think it's, like I said, a travesty that, you know, our medical and training staff has been painted in this negative light.
Well, and Chad, as I mentioned, you know, you hear about all the injuries, and I was surprised to hear that, surprised to read that Portland, in fact, has the fewest games missed by players among the top nine players in the NBA this season.
Yes, we've had a very, you know, the past years we've had some injuries we've battled through, but this year has been one of the healthiest seasons we've had in a long time. You know, when you look at the rotation players on each team, we've had the fewest number of games missed of any team in the league. You know, I think Jay has done outstanding job. You look at Gerald Wallace. We traded for Gerald Wallace. You know, he had battled a lot of injuries, just kind of the nature of the way he plays. He'd gone through a lot of, I mean, he'd hurt almost every bone and joint in his body, you know, throughout his years in Sacramento and Charlotte. And he came to us. He was with us for almost a full season. I think he was with us for 71 games, and he played in 69. And one of those games, we sat him at the end of the year in the Golden State game for, you know, just to rest him. So,
and not just Gerald, but Marcus Camby, another guy who, you know, had that tag on him as a guy who doesn't play in a lot of games. And he was healthy enough this season, you were able to deal him and, you know, put yourself in a better light heading into the summer.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think you look at, there's teams out there, you know, Yao Ming is a great example. I mean, he's missed a lot of time. There's teams that have battled through injuries just like we have. And that's just part of the NBA. It's part of sports. You're going to have some injuries that you got to deal with. Yeah, unfortunately, we had them to two big marquee players. But when you look at the big picture, I think our medical staff has done an outstanding job keeping our guys on the court.
Well, you guys now head forward into the off season with a lot of opportunity. And we've talked about how so many teams would love to have potentially two lottery picks and room under the cap. So you know, this is, and we've said, and we were talking about this upstairs a while ago, the fact that what next year sets up to be, you know, and losing the close games they've lost this year, granted without your, you know, losing Brandon Roy on training camp eve, if you split those close games, you're in this race, and this final week and a half or so, and instead you're looking at, what, 5-16 in games decided by 5 points or less, but the opportunity now to go into the summer and put yourself into the playoff race for next year, this is big-time opportunity now.
Absolutely. There's a fine line between winning and losing in all sports, and I think we've kind of seen that in our close games this year, and having the opportunity to have two high draft picks, having all the cap room that we're going to potentially have, it's exciting for us because it opens up a whole realm of possibilities for us to improve this team in a quick fashion. And none of us are satisfied with what happened this year with this team. I think you'd ask all of our players, all of our coaches, all of us within the organization, it's been a disappointing year. And we want to get back on track to be a team that can make consistent playoff runs and have a chance to put ourselves to win a championship, in position to win a championship.
All right, we want to keep you for a segment. Larry, we're going to turn you loose, but this is 2 weeks in a row, and I'm assuming the trifecta comes next week when you're back here again.
Hey, whenever you guys reach out, I'll be here.
We won't be here next. We'll be on the road. So anytime. We love having you here. So thanks for stopping by. Chad, we're going to hold you for another segment. Talk about a little bit more what you were just talking about. We'll take a break here on Trailblazers Courtside presented by Pacific Power. More to come on until 7 o'clock tonight, so stay tuned. And welcome back, Trailblazers Courtside. Interim General Manager Chad Buchanan is in studio with us. Mike Barrett, Mike Rice, Brian Wheeler. I mentioned that tomorrow night, Pete Carroll, the Seahawks coach, will be in the house with Paul Allen, who will be here as well. And he's a supporter of Caleb Canales. You know each other well. But, Chad, fill us in on that because some people think, well, so what? Pete Carroll's going to be. There's a reason I brought it up. Talk about these guys, what the background, what they have shared, and some of the support that Coach Carroll has given Coach Canales.
Caleb just has a thirst for trying to better himself, both as a coach, you know, as a person. And, you know, he reaches out to a lot of people. You know, that's how he got in the NBA. He reached out to NBA teams, to general managers, to head coaches, trying to get his foot in the door. And he continues with that approach. And one of those things that, you know, he does is he reaches out to coaches, both regionally and nationally, that he would like to try and pick their brains, get to know, you know, how they operate, their philosophy. And, you know, Coach Carroll being up the road in Seattle was a natural, you know, person for Caleb to reach out to. So Caleb, over the last, you know, about year and a half, has spent a lot of time, you know, watching Coach Carroll's practices, sitting in on his meetings, one-on-one interaction, picking his brain. They text each other quite a bit. They talk on the phone quite a bit. And Coach Carroll's been just a great resource for Caleb. I mean, I think he sees a young, vibrant, energetic coach with a bright future. And, you know, there's some personality similarities between those two guys. They're very high energy, very passionate. You know, they wear their emotions on their sleeve. They're, you know, they create a very fun environment for their team. You know, they're very supportive of their players. And I think, you know, Coach Carroll might see a little bit of himself in Caleb. And I think Caleb recognizes what Coach Carroll's done throughout his coaching career. And what better guy to try and pick the brain from? You know, it's great to go outside the box a little bit and, you know, a different sport, obviously, in football. But Coach Carroll is one of the best football coaches around. And why not take advantage of that opportunity?
Now, if someone else was chosen to be the head coach of the Blazers, would the organization try to find a place for Caleb, or would that be just up to the individual head coach you pick to decide? How would that work?
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to answer that for sure, Mike. You know, I think Caleb has made an outstanding impression on everybody in our organization. And I would be, you know, I would hope that if he's not chosen the next head coach, that there's a role for him on the staff. And I think any head coach who comes in here is going to recognize what he brings to both this team and what he would bring to that person's staff. So I think he's one of those guys. It's going to be hard to – you don't want to see a guy like that guy walk out the door because he is so valuable to what we're trying to do here as an organization. So, but ultimately that'll be up to the head coach. If it's not Caleb, whoever the head coach is, we'll have a chance to get to know him if he doesn't already. And I think once they get a chance to meet Caleb and understand what he's about, who wouldn't want a guy like that in your side?
You were mentioning earlier about the team not making a bunch of conscious efforts to publicize the good things that have gone on in a medical realm. And I think that can translate into something else. And I wish I'd had a chance to say this when your boss was in the room, but you have not done a lot to publicize the good things that you have done in a position, and you've been the ultimate team player in being whatever you've been asked to do, doing it as well as you possibly can, and saying that you just want to be a part of this organization, and if the team would consider you for this position on a full-time basis, that you would be very interested in that as well, obviously. Are you comfortable in talking about where that stands as the GM search is ongoing, where things are, if you've been told anything, if you have any feel for how seriously you will be considered to have the job on a full-time basis?
Yeah, I mean, I would first say that, you know, Larry has been outstanding to me. You know, he supported me when, you know, he first, you know, put me into this role, and has been by my side from day one. And you know, there's a lot of great people in this organization. You know, people sit at this table, people down at the practice facility, people in the Rose Garden. It's just a great organization to be a part of, and that's, you know, why, you know, I express I just want to be a part of the organization moving forward. That's a genuine feeling from me, because I enjoy the people here, and that's most important for me, is enjoying what I do, and I enjoy being a part of the Trailblazers. So from that standpoint, whether I'm, you know, considered for the GM position or not, being able to retain myself and, you know, within the organization is important to me, because I love what I do. I love the people I work with, and I still feel like our team, maybe we've taken a step back, I still feel like around the corner there's really good things for this franchise and for this team and for this city, and I want to be a part of it, because I've, you know, this is my eighth year with the team. I've invested a lot of time and energy in this team, and whether it's in the position as the general manager or a different position, I'm going to be gladly, you know, be a soldier about it, and want to try and help this team get a championship.
Now, is there a timeline where if they brought someone in, they may change the way you're thinking about what's going on this summer? Or, you know, do you need to get something done in a time that –
because you've got your plan.
Yes.
And your team, your group of guys have your plan going.
Correct.
Forward. So – And I think that's what Mike is, you know, that's a good question he's asking, and that's something I've thought of as well, because you got a plan going one way, and at what point, if something changes, would that plan deviate from this current path?
Sure. I would anticipate if they bring in another general manager, that they're going to want to pick our brains about, you know, okay, what was your intentions here? And because, you know, when we first took over last summer, we were looking to this coming summer to try and set ourselves up in position to have cap room. You know, to be able to field a competitive team this year.
It takes a while to get cap room.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's very, you know, some teams go years and years and years without having that flexibility. And we're in a great position of having that flexibility and having, now we have multiple potential lottery picks to go with a couple of young players that are good pieces to continue to build around. So I would anticipate whoever, you know, the next general manager is that comes in will want to sit down with us and say, okay, what's the direction that you guys were headed? Tell us about, you know, how you got to where you're at. You know, what free agents have you targeted? What draft picks are, you know, players are you targeting in the draft? How does it all fit together? Tell us about your team. You know, that's kind of what Rich did with us when Rich was brought in. You know, he picked our brains on every possible scenario you can imagine with our team. He picked our brains on our players, our coaches, you know, everything about the organization. I would anticipate it being the same, Mike. And there's a chance that a new GM comes in and he wants to go down a completely different path. That's always a possibility. But we feel like where we've set ourselves up to, if we continue down this path, we're in a good position.
Do you think you reach a point, has it been discussed, that if it's not going to be you, and if someone else is going to be brought in, is there a certain date that you would like to know if you're going to be the people conducting the draft, for instance? Is there a certain date that if a GM decision is not reached by June, whatever, then we're going to wait till after the draft, because at that point in time, it wouldn't be fair or prudent to bring in somebody new that might have all new ideas after all the effort you and your staff have done to prepare for whatever your game plan is for the draft?
I'd say ideally, you know, if you have the draft is at the end of June, you're right into free agency after that, you need some time to prep yourself for that whole plan, because it's two major periods of your organization, of your roster, of the draft and with free agency, and having enough time to prep that, to plan it out, to sit down and meet with the people you want to meet with, to evaluate your own players, to evaluate the free agents that you've targeted, to evaluate the draft prospects, that takes some time. Whether they have somebody in place by, ideally you want, a good month or so to be able to do that, I think, in an ideal world. But our mindset right now is we're going to proceed forward until, we're on a track right now that we like where we're going, until we're taken off that track, whether it be a new GM is brought in or, it's kept as is through the draft. We're going to keep our eyes forward. We're not trying to look peripherally at what's happening around us. We got to keep our eye on the ball.
Now, if you were to go 1, 2, 3, drafts, free agents, trades, what would be the most important in your mind? What would be number 1, 2, and 3?
I think that's a good question, Mike. I think, free agency obviously is where we have the most flexibility right now with our cap room. And that kind of coincides with trades a little bit because, you can take a player into your cap room in a trade. I think for us, we're looking for a little bit of both. We're looking for some young talent, maybe in the draft, whether it's with one of those picks or both of those picks, and using, our cap room, whether it be to sign a free agent or taking a player in a trade, to address some players that already contribute right now. They're already proven NBA players. So it's a balance of both. I think, in order to take that next step, you got to have some proven NBA players. So I think if I had to pick one or the other, I'd probably go the free agency route and the cap room route. So that kind of coincides with the trades, because that's the area where it helps you the most immediately. Because I feel like, we're probably – LaMarcus, I think, is a really good piece, but I think you need probably two more really good pieces of that caliber, and hopefully it's, maybe it's one or two guys on your roster already that really blossom into that, or maybe it's somebody you draft, or maybe it's somebody you bring in through a trade or free agency. But I think that's the most important thing for our team to make the next step, is add one more and preferably two more high-level caliber players.
Final four games, Crawford, Felton, and Nick. How do you approach the remainder of the schedule with regard to Nick and his ongoing tendonitis, and Crawford and Felton with regard to getting those young guys the time that we were talking about earlier?
Yeah, with Nick, I think we're going to listen to him on how he feels. That's what we did on the last trip. We talked to him about, where it's a back-to-back. We'd like to give him one game off. Nick would like to play every game if you'd let him. But we want to be smart with him and not force him, press him too much into, extended action when he's not feeling 100%. But he felt good in the Sacramento game. He came to us last night. He warmed up a little before the game. He was like, I'm not quite sure. And we're like, just sit, just sit. No need to press it tonight. We'll give Luke a lot of minutes at your position. And we're going to listen to Nick, for the last four games. Nick came up to me before the Sacramento game and says, I'm playing for Caleb. I want to play for Caleb. I feel good, and this is for Caleb, these last five games, six games at that point. So that gives you an indication of how our guys feel about our coach. And then with Jamal and Raymond, we'll probably look at sitting those guys some games here down the stretch to give Nolan and Johnny some extended minutes as well, like we did the other night. Now that you're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, you got four games you really, really want to focus in on your young players. And so that might mean sitting Jamal and Raymond a few of these games.
Chad, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. Always nice to catch up. Should be a busy, eventful, and summer full of opportunity.
Absolutely. It's exciting. I think there's good things around the corner for us, guys.
And whether you'll say it or not, you're doing a magnificent job. You've done a magnificent job.
I appreciate it, guys.
And I didn't even get into the Hicks and stuff. I was going to get into what a wonderful move that has turned out to be, which you guys should get a lot of credit for. So, Chad Buchanan, acting general manager of the Trailblazers. When we come back, most likely a quick segment, and then Sam Amick will be on from SI.com. So stay tuned. Trailblazers Courtside, as always, is presented by Pacific Power. And welcome back. Quick segment before Sam Amick from SI.com. Interesting NBA games tonight. More interesting tomorrow night. But Memphis is at Minnesota tonight. They lead it just by two. About 3.5 to go in the third quarter there. New York and Boston are playing. New York is up 19 on Boston. That game is at halftime. Tomorrow night, Utah in town to take on the Trailblazers. Last night, obviously, was huge for Phoenix because with a loss by Houston, they moved back into the eighth spot. And, that'll be the one interesting thing, along with getting a chance to look at some guys for the Trailblazers. But it'll be kind of fun to be in the middle of this race, even though, unfortunately, Portland is not a team that is going to be back in the playoff race. able to affect the race, Mike Rice. Tomorrow night is going to be with Utah's 3 overtime win over Dallas last night. That was a massive win for Utah. And tomorrow night, they have got to get the game here.
Well, there's so many teams that are so nervous, like Dallas. They're falling, you know, defending champs, they're falling like a rock. They lose that triple overtime. That triple overtime win, if Dallas wins it, it sets them up pretty well. But when they lose it, now they're back in the pack. And you look at Utah. This is a must yeah. win for Utah. I mean, they're still a game behind, all right? Phoenix gets the tiebreaker with the Rockets, so they're in pretty good shape. But, you know, every team the Blazer plays the rest of the way has really a reason to win the game. So it's great experience for the Blazer young guys. They can be spoilers.
All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back and have Sam Amick from SI.com. We're going to talk primarily about the situation in Sacramento. Are the Kings on the move? Could it happen before the start of next season? And we continue on Trailblazers Courtside on Comcast Sportsnet, the Trailblazers Radio Network, and streaming live on Trailblazers.com. Mike Barrett, Mike Rice, Brian Wheeler with you. Sam Amick from SI.com, our next guest. We want to thank Chad Buchanan and Larry Miller for being in earlier in the program as well. Sam, we were just in Sacramento, played there on Sunday in an afternoon game, and it was so interesting. It was the first game since everything fell apart, and we were waiting. We knew the Maloofs were going to be there, waiting for them to come courtside, trying to see the crowd reaction, but they went up in a suite. But update us on the situation now, since everything seemed to have fallen apart and since Sunday's win.
Since then, you guys haven't missed too much. A lot of rhetoric continues to fly, most of it coming from the city. You know, the two sides have not returned to the negotiating table. Kevin Johnson came out today and essentially said that, you know, the city is continuing to look at all options. He made some references to potential for a new franchise and you know, I don't know all the details, but it was some reference to a situation that could involve a hockey team. So, you know, right now the city is kind of stubbornly saying, you know, listen, the deal we had on the table before, that's the deal. And we're not renegotiating anything. And the Maloofs are saying that, you know, they're willing to keep talking, but there's no shortage of bad blood right now. So that's kind of where it's at.
Well, when we were there, it's the Maloofs said, we don't want to talk to the present mayor. We're not getting along with Kevin, so we don't want to talk to him. And then they really got into the politics of it by saying that this would kill both the Kings and the city. This would cost the city millions of dollars if this current deal went through. So are they going to keep saying that, the Maloofs?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'll be honest, guys. It's one of those things where you talk to one camp and you sympathize with them, and then you talk to the other side. And the only thing I don't sympathize at all with the Maloofs is the idea that they celebrated like they did and let the fans – you know, really believe that their team was going to stick around. But in terms of the deal itself, I spent a lot of time yesterday talking to the Bulls camp and, you know, getting their spin on the numbers, things like that. And it's fairly convincing in terms of the projections between attendance and then also team sponsorships and what, you know, bottom line, like what it would take to make money. And so their assertion is that the projections were way too optimistic. And compared to what they've done in the, you know, the years that they've been in town already, you know, the projections are, you know, it'd be fine to be above what you've done before because you assume a new facility would help in that regard, but it was way above and beyond that. So, you know, you're convinced by him. And then, of course, you sit there and say, well, man, why the heck are you crying in front of the camera and raising your arms in victory then? And that's the part that I don't think we're ever going to know.
Sam, I was, you know, I've gotten to know Joe and Gavin over the last few years. In fact, I walked up toward the suite on Sunday, and it was interesting. They had two guys guarding it, and Joe saw me from a distance, and he said he had to tell the guys, no, he's okay. He can come in. So I was able to get in to talk to them a little bit, and I get the feeling that they're naive in some respects. They wanted to actually, and they thought it was okay, the idea. They wanted to go in front of the crowd at center court with microphones to talk to them before the game started on Sunday, feeling that that would be a good thing to do. And their PR people had to tell them, this is going to be a disaster. You can't do that. It's not going to work out well. They also wanted to take their seats. I think they felt they wanted to take their seats because they didn't want to make it appear as if they were hiding from anything. They didn't think they had anything to hide from. But I don't think they quite understand that everything you talked about, that celebratory night right after the All-Star break, that it gave everybody the impression that the future of the Kings in Sacramento was secure. And I don't think they quite understand why nobody is taking their side. Nobody is seeing what they want to do. And they really want to aggressively go out and tell the story. And somehow it's even been determined that George Maloof, who last I checked was really just the guy running the Palms in Vegas, and I realize he doesn't have to worry about that anymore, but now he's all of a sudden become the spokesperson, when for the longest time that the team owned the team was owned by the Maloofs, Joe and Gavin were always the spokespeople. So it's really a departure from the way Joe and Gavin want to do things, but somebody has told them that the pathway of trying to reach the people doesn't seem to be working very well.
Yeah, you know, Brian, everything you said is, you know, jives with what I was, you know, under the impression of that night. You know, I was shocked to hear that they were going to go in front of the crowd. In fact, I tweeted something about, you know, we could be looking at a Joe Lacob moment here, you know, the Warriors owner that just got booed, you know, mercilessly a couple of weeks before. They, you said, you know, a word there that jumped out at me is naive. And it's, you know, some of the qualities that have made the Maloofs lovable to their fans and people in general, and even myself, I've always enjoyed those guys on a personal level. You know, in scenarios like this, it makes them loathsome in terms of their naivete and really their ignorance when it comes to perception. You know, this is the same family that in the middle of another serious arena push in 2006, when they were trying to tell the city that they didn't have the money to contribute to an arena at that time, you know, they turned around and did a Carl's Jr. ad where they said that a bottle of you know, nice wine and a burger was your $6,000 Happy Meal. And, you know, they flaunted their wealth in that way that at times when they were completely tone deaf for the situation. And they get in their own way a lot. And, you know, it had kind of a ripple effect on the negotiations. They, in my opinion, put too much trust in the NBA and waited way too long to insert themselves back into the negotiations, because this is going to blow your mind. I mean, the weekend in Orlando when they came to the framework of an agreement, that was the first time they'd sat at the negotiating table in the entire process. And I'm talking the whole time. They had nothing to do with negotiations until that weekend. And so in that regard, it shouldn't shock anybody that this thing kind of went south.
Sam, we'll continue to watch this. We appreciate you giving us an update, and perhaps there'll be more to come in this situation. There most certainly will be, and we will check back in with you for that. So we'll continue to read you on SI.com and at Twitter, at Sam_Amick is the handle. So, Sam, thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
All right, Sam Amick from SI.com. Boy, I don't know how long the league is going to continue and play this game, but now if they go back to the table again, you're talking about, what, another 2 years out, 3 years in ARCO, whatever it's called.
Power
balance. Now that place is a dive.
There's already a difference, as I see it. I mean, last year at this time when the Maloofs were talking about going to Anaheim, you know, David Stern told them, don't bother to bring this up for a vote because you're not going to get the votes to be able to make the move. He was committed to keeping the team in Sacramento. This time in the last week, his quote was, well, we've done everything we can.
Yeah.
And that to me sounds like somebody who's saying, if you guys can't work it out, I'll support a decision to try to move. And that's a departure from the way.
And you're hearing the dreaded term, explore all options.
Yes, yes.
And hopefully, yeah. I mean, you've heard some rumblings from Seattle. They could get involved. Wouldn't that be great if Seattle could somehow get involved? And if they are going to end up somewhere, I know fans in the Northwest would much rather have them be in Seattle than Anaheim. We'll take a break here on Trailblazers Courtside and come back right after this. Welcome back, Trailblazers Courtside, Blazers and Utah Jazz tomorrow night. Continuing on just for a second more, the discussion about Sacramento. And Wheels, I know you do know the Maloofs pretty well. And some stories you've told me in the past are funny about these guys. Just kind of how they handle things and kind of an aw shucks. And it just seems like such. And again, as Sam said, that's what has made them lovable in the past in some regard. What do you think it's going to take now? Because they're not going to sell. They don't want to sell. But these guys don't have the means anymore after losing the Palms and then – having to borrow from the NBA the $67.5 million that it would take to get this arena deal done in Sacramento. Do they have a leg to stand on, and could they be forced to sell? Because that's what this thing looks like it's coming to.
Yeah, you know, there's a recent Scott Hart Cooper article on NBA.com that I thought, and he spent a lot of time in Sacramento too, I thought he described them loose very well, that Joe and Gavin in particular are kind of both good cops. You know, there is really not a bad cop, and they want to be liked by everybody. When they came in, you know, they really preached the fact that any business that they've had has been built on customer service, and that's something that they believe in very strongly. And certainly when the team was winning and they were selling out the then Arco Arena, you know, they were hailed as heroes. I mean, there was no question about that. And they were being heroes again when it appeared there was a deal. Gavin Malouf got a standing ovation walking into the city council in Sacramento to talk about, you know, the situation that it appeared everybody felt was a done deal. So I don't know how you stand at center court and you're celebrating with the mayor. Again, in my mind, it's an amazing case of deja vu, because we're back at the exact same point we were at this time last year when I would talk to Joe and he would say, I don't trust that Kevin Johns. I don't trust him. And then they got the ability to stay this season, and it looked like things were going to be secure. And I'd ask him again, and he said, oh, no, he's all right. You know, we're going to make it work here. And he was happy again. And then this Sunday when I talked to him again, Kevin Johnson, I don't trust him. He's come back full circle to, you know, to the whole situation. So I don't know how it's going to get resolved. I know that the people in, say, Seattle that want a team, they want to own the team. So I don't know how, you know, when we talk about moving, I don't know how everybody's going to get what they want, I guess. And maybe it's a merger of the two wishes. Maybe the money comes from the people in Seattle and the moves still get to be figureheads or
it's gonna have
some
come
ownership
from somebody
stake.
Else.
Yeah, because I don't think just moving to a new city will make everything better for the financial situation of the Maloofs.
And I was impressed by their 16,000. They were at the game.
And they were into the game.
They sure were.
Into the game. Yeah. And they were a help for Sacramento winning that game. And I thought, man, these fans, like Seattle fans, they deserve better. But I can't see this working out at all now for Seattle. I mean, for Sacramento.
And Kevin Johnson, everybody says, okay, played in the NBA. He's got to be careful, because he didn't want to tie himself to this ship that closely. He has, when it looked like it was a hero opportunity with the Maloofs, but now, you know, there are a lot of people, and we were in Sacramento Sunday, and read all the letters to the editor and everything. He's got to be careful, because he's in politics now.
Right now, they're pointing the finger. Who's to blame?
Yeah.
And that's why he's turning on the Maloofs right now.
And they're turning on him.
They're turning on him, because somebody's got to be wrong.
A lot of fingers being pointed, and you're right. Somebody's got to be wrong, and I'm not sure who it is, but I don't know how that – and think about this. Supposedly, they're guaranteed to play there next season.
Yeah,
now, if they're going to be leaving, I mean, what
can
–
have a lame duck
you can't
situation. Have a lame duck season.
Oh, that's
not there.
Be horrible.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap up this edition of Trailblazers Courtside. Stay tuned. Now, the producer of this program, John McConnell. How about McConnell sitting in the producer's chair tonight?
Yeah.
Gareth Strudler, the director, Greg St. Martin on video, Kimmy Anderson on graphics, one of our favorites, Corey Griffin in audio, Zippy and Curry in here on cameras, Bruce Williams, our engineer and Mr. Everything, and the captain, Rich Patterson, is back in Studio C there with his David Douglas sweatshirt.
David Douglas.
How are you, Rich? You look good. You got a haircut recently.
John McConnell called me today, and he said, how can we make this program better? So we had a nice long talk.
Really? Wow. Well, is he trying to say that?
Rich, I was trying to bring you into the program, but I was stopped. The shot was rejected at the rim.
Cap,
Rice.
What position, Cap, did you play in the David Douglas basketball squad?
Announcer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, how about that?
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And they wouldn't let me get near the court.
Blazers and Jazz tomorrow night, as we've said. I mean, Al Jefferson played, 53 minutes last night, had his 28 and 25 game or whatever. This is huge for them, and it's amazing how they've done it without so many other guys.
Yeah, I mean, they're without Rajah Bell, Josh Howard, C.J. Miles, Earl Watson, Damari Carroll is starting at small forward. But they got their two main guys up front.
And they got the two main guys. They're still scoring points in the paint. Blazers are still not stopping scoring in the paint. Mm. And they have something to play for.
No question.
You know that. So it should be a great interest.
And we'll see
game.
Him twice in the next week.
Yes.
That's the interesting thing. Blazers and Jazz tomorrow night. And then the road trip, which will take us to Memphis, to San Antonio, and then Utah to wrap up the regular season. And Jazz certainly hoping they're heading off to the postseason, but I don't know. You look at the remaining schedules, it's going to be tough for all these teams. Should be fun to watch. And we appreciate you watching us tonight, listening to us both on Comcast Sportsnet and on trailblazers.com. Tomorrow night, Blazers and Jazz, 7 o'clock tip at the Rose Garden. For Brian Wheeler and Mike Rice, I'm Mike Barrett. Thanks for watching. Talk to you tomorrow.